Mr. Emedy and the Falmouth Harmonic Society thank you for your attention and would now like to entertain you further with a ball. This will commence in a few moments with a minuet. Take your places, ladies and gentlemen, when ready.
I hope you enjoyed the concert, Mr. Buckingham.
What can I say, Mrs. Emedy? It was... To be honest, Mrs. Emedy, I am quite enraptured, quite enslaved. Indeed, I'd imagine such music as your husband's could coerce everyone and anyone into a beautiful slavery. I see it now. The whole world picking cotton whilst your husband flogs them black and blue with a concerto.
My husband will be so gratified you found the music to your liking, Mr. Buckingham. I know how he's enjoying your lessons together.
Really? I should have thought he'd grown devilish tired of a Lancastrian factory whistle I turned the flute into.
Not at all. He declares you have progressed remarkably well. You'd hardly credit it, but many of his pupils are ladies interested in music, only insofar as it's conducive to their flirtations.
Indeed. A terrible waste of a divine science for such base ends. How did you enslave Mr. Emedy, Mrs. Emedy? Was he your music teacher? Do tell. Was it a duet cordette or a romance in F?
Oh no, Mr. Buckingham. I wasn't his pupil. I met my husband's music before I met him. It was one evening, nearly 2 years ago. He was rehearsing at the town hall of the Harmonic Society, and I happened to overhear. They were playing for a symphony. I didn't know music then, and was terrified.
Terrified?
I suppose, as a girl, I'd digested too many novels by Mrs. Radcliffe and was terrified by a loveliness I thought belonged only to ancestral ghosts playing harpsichords in Apennine castles.
Go on.
Well, when I found out it was real, and he, the musician, was real, I knew that being frightened was the same thing as being in love. So I decided that he, Joseph, would decide to marry me.
Didn't, is colour even enter into your feelings? What in God's name did your family think?
As for myself, I don't think I ever worried too much about his blackness, apart from remarking how apt it was, given my early Gothic associations with his music.
And your family?
Telling my mother. You can see her, she's that lady over there with, yes, her, with the feathers. Telling Mother all about it, yes, was a little difficult at first. She wouldn't necessarily have chosen a Negro as my husband. But, you see, my father died quite a few years ago, and so she had no one to consult about the matter, except perhaps her memory of him. And I think, in some ways, she thought the marriage conformed to his last wishes.
How on earth?
Well, you see, my father made all his money through trade and tin at Penryn. And on his deathbed, he informed Mother that he expected some profits to accrue to his children as a return for a life's work, in the form of education and such advantages as he had never enjoyed. That is, he told her to make sure she import some culture into the family. And since the person with the most culture in Cornwall is Mr. Emedy, she realised that the quickest and cheapest way of importing it was by marrying him. Oh, look, the ball's starting.
I'm beginning to think Falmouth the most liberal and cosmopolitan place since Babel. No one even seems to notice that your husband is, well, different to most musicians. It's all quite bemusing, Mrs. Emedy, and I, for one, just don't understand.
As I say, I don't think there is anything to understand. You could say, Mr. Buckingham, that, for my mother, it was just a case of making a virtue of necessity when she saw I'd been ruined by my husband-to-be's music. Ah, she's coming over here now.
I suppose you were just enslaved like myself by his fiddling.
I'm sure that's the wrong expression, Mr. Buckingham. After all, my husband was a slave, and he'd never wish that on anyone else.
Your husband a slave?
Mr. Buckingham, let me introduce you to my mother, Mrs. Hutchins.
But I don't... Emedy was a slave!
Never mind that now. I'm sure my husband will explain. Mother, this is Mr. Buckingham.